Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world come." And then this 12th verse is really our text verse. "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Throughout the study of the Bible, I think you can see, of course, in the book of Judges, which we're at now, you can see this very plainly. But think about the course that human nature takes when it's not under any constraint. And one of the things about the book of Judges, there are several times when it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, so every man just did what was right in his own eyes, and it did not write a very pretty historical record. So our thoughts tonight is on our own. What do we do on our own? And to kind of lead up to this, I want to read a few verses. In Jeremiah chapter 9, and there in verse 23 and 24, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches." So these are all things that give us self-confidence and self-assurance. "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." In 1 Samuel 15:17, which I'm not going to ask you to turn, but God told Saul that when he was little in his sight, that's when God was able to establish him in the kingdom. But it didn't take long until Saul got out of that. In 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 16, 2 Chronicles 26, here's another example of what we are making reference to. This is Uzziah, who started off, as you see in the fifth verse, "As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." But in verse 16, it says, "When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God." We pray for strength, but I want you to just stop and think tonight. What if God was to give us all the strength we pray for? We also pray for success, but what if God made us as successful as we really want to be? We all pray for comfort, but what if God was to make us as comfortable as we would like to be? We all pray to get out of troubles, but what if God was to make our life trouble-free? Now, all of those are worthy questions in terms of what we do on our own. The only true counsel we have on any of this is the Word of God. I want to go to Psalm chapter 119. In Psalm chapter 119, there's a few verses here that are very much on this subject. In Psalm 119 and verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." In Psalm chapter 66, and there in verse 10, in Psalm chapter 66, and there in verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. 1 Peter 1:7 says that we're to rejoice when we're under trial and tribulation, because that will be an exercise of faith for us to endure that, and that'll result in blessings and rewards. In Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10, a companion to what we read here in Psalm 66, in Isaiah chapter 48 and there in verse 10, it says, Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So we are to have a very thoughtful attitude about what's going on in life. Back in Psalm 119 again, in Psalm chapter 119 and there in verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. We don't pray for affliction, but the psalmist says that it's a faithfulness on God's part when he does afflict us. And there are reasons for that, because the most profitable time for us spiritually is not when we're just free and everything going good. That's sometimes we get out on our own too far. But it's when we are having difficulties in life, that's when God refines us. And we're having to really come back to God in a positive way. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and I think these things, I'm bringing them out to this point because we need to appreciate them. And sometimes those things are the hardest things to appreciate. But in 2 Chronicles 32, and there in verse 24, it says, In those days Hezekiah was sick to death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. He got beyond the problem, he got on his own, and then he didn't do well. God had added 15 years unto Hezekiah's life. We'll read a couple verses in a moment on that. He'd been sick unto death, but God healed him and added 15 more years to his life. But it says that after that, he did not render unto God according to the benefit done unto him. So on his own, he didn't do well. He didn't do well. So this is the subject that we want to consider. God can do anything for us, and God wants to bless us. God wants to lift us up above the difficulties of this life. But then the question becomes, what will we do after that? What will we do when smooth sailing comes? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God spoke to his people about this out of love, out of concern, and out of well-meaning for them. In the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, and there in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, so this is beyond the crisis now, into the good stuff, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. That's what we have to beware of. God says, when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. The most dangerous time in the life of a Christian spiritually is when everything is going good. That's the most dangerous time for us spiritually. You can see that from the Garden of Eden on. Things were very, very good in the Garden of Eden. But I want us to just think tonight, what would happen to us as a church if God was to take all of our troubles away, make us all very happy, and make millionaires out of all of us? I believe that would be the downfall of the church. And that's because of human nature. So I want to look at 2 Kings chapter 20. This is to check in on Hezekiah again about his experience as a witness to us. In 2 Kings chapter 20, and there in verse 5 and 6. 2 Kings 20, verse 5 and 6. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. So there it is. God's going to give Hezekiah a green light in life, and everything's going to be good for him. But we just read Hezekiah didn't do well after that. He didn't do well. In the 32nd chapter of 2 Chronicles, this is again about Hezekiah. In 2 Chronicles 32, and there in verse 31, it says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was on in his heart. In other words, he let him go on his own to see what he would do. You know, you can have, we'll not go that route, because that would be sort of putting us into the category of animals, so we're not going to go that route. But there are times when God uses the troubles of our lives to refine us. We've read verses on that. To focus us on how important it is that we get our answers from God. There are times that God really puts us under, and it may be a very difficult time. And then there are times when God blesses us and enriches our lives with his goodness. And then there will be the time when God will just leave us alone to see what we're going to do from there on. That's the time that we're looking at tonight. And that's the most crucial or important time. For it is what we will do on our own that allows God to really take an active part in giving us the full abundant life. It's what we'll do on our own. In Genesis chapter 18, I think you can see an example of this. In Genesis chapter 18, we have God dealing with Abraham, a man of faith, a man who was called the friend of God. And we can see a lot in this passage as to why that was so. In the 18th chapter of Genesis, and there in verses 18 and 19, God says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So I know what he's going to do on his own. And because I know what he's going to do on his own, I can just open the door as far as what I want to do for him. God knows what we will do on our own. And that is what he will make his decisions on as to what he will do for us in the future. And rewards are laid up in heaven based on what we do on our own. And it's not the cries that we make when we're in distress that gives us rewards in heaven. It's not the blessings that God gives us in this life, because God doesn't reward us for the things he does for us. So the blessings of God are the things that God does for us. So that's the gifts in this life, but he doesn't reward us for what he does, you see. So it's not any of those things, but the rewards are what we do for him, what we do for him, and what we primarily will do for him when we're on our own. So if after God has given us deliverances and made our lives comfortable, he may very well just leave us alone to see what we're going to do. And that's a time when we'll feel like, you know, everything's going good. I'm making good money. Got good health. I'm not sad. I'm happy. Well, that's when we have to be careful. God says, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. Growing up, I heard the expression many times that if we do not seek to do what we can do for the Lord on our own, God may just put us on the shelf. In other words, we'll just live life, but there won't be any reward for it. And of course, that's coming short of the glory of God. In the 15th chapter of John, and I think that these are things that are definitely pertaining to our relationship in the Lord's work in a local church. But in John chapter 15, we have Christ given the illustration of a vine and the branches. In John chapter 15, in verse 1, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, that's something to stop and consider. We mentioned being put on the shelf. All right. If we're not bearing fruit, then we're not going to be in the position that we once had. We'll just be kind of, you know, not out there in that activity. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. So we see that God's purpose for our lives is that we, on our own, are to bear fruit unto him. And if we don't seize that opportunity, then the privilege of it will be withdrawn, as you see in verse 2. We often refer to Luke 18:8 when it says, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I think that is a wake-up call for a lot of things. But I think it also signals a shift in the way people look at serving God. And that is that as you study what God has to say about end times and about what people are after, that sometimes people go from a frame of mind of actually serving God to just being entertained by religion. And that's what 2 Timothy 4:3-4 talks about. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. This means that a person kind of looks at church as just attending an event. As long as I go now and then attend the event, rather than, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There's quite a bit of difference in that. What will you have me to do as a member of your body, the local church, other than just showing up now and then to attend the event of the church? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, 1 Timothy 4:12, these were instructions to a young minister, and of course that would mean their top of the line advice. In 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. There is a simple and truthful way to look at that. And it is simply this. What would my church be if every member was just like me? I think that kind of gets into the area of being an example of the believers. Our church covenant says we engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrine. So that's much more than just attending church as an event. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and there in verse 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded," I think that's really getting into it on being on our own, "may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." God can do anything. You notice in verse 20, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can take our worst and make it for our best. And that's what we have in the scriptures of a refining process. In his righteous dealings with us, he will refine us to teach us the necessity of faith, of prayer, of dependence upon him and drawing nigh to him. He'll teach us all those good things as he is refining us. And by his love, he will bless us with handfuls of purpose, like you read that in the book of Ruth. But the real factor is, however, what will I do on my own? You know, when there's no pressure, when there's no worry, when I feel like that everything's going my way, I don't have money problems, I don't have emotional problems, I don't have anything staring me in the face that's scary, what will I do then with my life spiritually? God is not going to put us on a leash. In other words, he's going to let us be on our own at those times. He's made some fantastic promises to us. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, "There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Our Heavenly Father is not going to let us get in over our head. He's going to be there and monitor everything about us. In Romans chapter 8, as we continue the thought of the great promises that God has made to us, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present," and this important one, things to come. Do you know what's coming? I don't. There could be a whole lot of things yet. We may think that, you know, we've seen the worst and we're over the hump. It could be a whole lot different yet. So he says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So no problem with God. God's going to do his part. He's never the weak ingredient. But the real outcome is now going to become, what will I do on my own? When all the pressure's gone, when all the concerns are gone, and I now find that peace, I now find everything going my way, what will I do then? What will I do then? Think of Samson, and really Samson's the one that sort of inspired my thoughts this way, because I was going to do a recap of his life, and that's not the way that that the message went. But back in the 13th chapter of Judges, in Judges chapter 13, as we pick up on Samson in the beginning of his life, it says in the 25th verse of Judges 13, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. And down in the 14th chapter in verse 6, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. So you can see the tremendous possibilities that there was for this man. But we studied his life, and we have found that the story of his personal life and experience was written by what he did on his own. What he did on his own. That's what wrote that terrible story for Samson. The same thing with Solomon, gifted with wisdom and riches above all men, but he died in disgrace worshiping idols. He died in disgrace. He did it all on his own. When God left him alone with all of his abundance that God had given him, yet he turned to idolatry. Humanly speaking, we've got to speak to this. Our first preference is to do what we want to do. And it's not repulsive to us. Your will doesn't disturb you. It satisfies you. My will doesn't disturb me. It satisfies me. But in most cases, it falls way short of what God would want us to be. So as long as we're in the flesh, that's the way it's going to be. We're always going to have to contend with the flesh. But you know, Christ made it very plain, and it's not complicated, in Luke chapter 9, and there in verse 23, when he talked about discipleship and how that the things that make for it to be a success. In Luke 9:23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let him deny himself. Not somebody else pin you to the ground and say, look, you know you're wrong in what you're doing. No, we deny ourselves in order to seek out what God's will and plan is for us. So that is that we are to remember when we come face to face with when the Holy Spirit gave us repentance. You know, when you go back to the time you were first saved, there was one thing in mind. You want to please the Lord. You want to please the Lord. Okay, we have to go back to that. And then we have to clear our mind about what having our faith and trust in God is. To trust not in ourselves, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him. We can be resolved and assured in making our decisions to do God's will instead of our own. That's possible. And Christ tells us we can do that, but we have to do it very, very thoughtfully, because when we think we're standing, that's when we can fall. And we really have to be careful about everything coming back to the fact, what will I do on my own? What will I do on my own? Not only now, but in the future, when life may change for the better, or it may change for the worse. Sometimes when life changes for the better, people kind of move on, get away from what the Lord established them in. And sometimes when it changes for the worse, why then their faith caves in. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. That is talking about what we do on our own. May we bow our heads for prayer. Father, we pray that you'll help us tonight, because I don't think anybody sitting here would say that I want to turn from God, or they wouldn't be here tonight if they had that attitude. So So I believe that we're speaking to ourselves at a time when we're alert to the fact that your will is to be supreme, that we need you in life. But as we study Bible characters, we see how that so many who were enriched and helped and raised up by you on so many occasions, that they did not render to you according to the benefits done unto them. And when they were on their own, things went in the wrong direction. So this is something we'll have to challenge ourselves for, not so much tonight, but tomorrow, and the day that follows, and the days that come. And as things change in our life, we need to make sure that we do not in any way on our own turn from you, but rather seek to be closer to you, as you've promised that if we will draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us. So bless the invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.